This is a Cortez Currents news update. The virtual hearing for three fish farms in the Discovery Islands began yesterday. On December 17, 2020, Fisheries and Oceans Minister Bernadette Jordan announced that no fish of any size can be introduced to the Discovery Islands. Mowi Canada West, Cermak Canada, Grieg Seafood BC, and an independent company called 622335 BC Limited, owned by Saltstream Engineering, are seeking a judicial review to overturn the minister's decision. Margaret Venton of EcoJustice, who represents an environmental coalition consisting of the David Suzuki Foundation, Georgia Strait Alliance, Living Ocean Society, Watershed Watch, and independent biologist Alexandra Morton, explained.
We don't imagine, however, that lawsuit will be heard and decided for months because of the time that legal proceedings take.
The immediate battle is for a court order permitting Mowi Canada West to transfer juvenile fish to its Phillips Arm and Harwick fish farms and 622335 BC Limited to restock the Doctor Bay farm and adjacent hatchery. Venton explained that one of the DFO's arguments against this is the possible emergence of treatment-resistant sea lice.
We have no evidence of the monitoring from this out-migration period. So one of the concerns that the Department of Fisheries and Oceans raised in its decision statement is the emergence of treatment-resistant lice. So that's a new issue that the Conservation Coalition is very concerned about. And the possibility that even if the risk is small for some of for these additional transfers, the salmon that are migrating out through the Discovery Islands right now and will be again next year between March and June are among the most vulnerable cohorts of at least the Fraser River sockeye ever, because they were the lowest, they're the progeny of the lowest return years ever. The stakes are really high for Fraser River sockeye, including for reasons beyond just fish farming, right? The Big Bar landslide, increased ocean temperatures. There are other factors making it harder for fish to survive. And so their resilience to stress from fish farms like sea lice transfer is just all the more reduced. And so some of these populations, as we understand the scientific evidence, are actually teetering on the verge of collapse.
Yesterday, the fish farm's legal team argued that if they're not permitted to transfer their fish, they will have to be destroyed.
The courts heard a lot about the implications of the closure of the fish farms in the Discovery Islands and the company's concerns about the impact on their businesses. And those are significant issues. I think the court will listen quite seriously to those concerns, and those concerns are serious. It's just unfortunate that the companies have presented that evidence of seriousness and suggest that there is actually no environmental issue. There are no actual legitimate concerns on the other side. And that, in fact, their argument essentially is that all the other considerations that the minister may have made are irrelevant or improper. And that is significantly concerns the coalition that these companies are operating in public waters. They are doing something which is have a recognized risk to wild salmon, and yet they're not actually prepared to even acknowledge that the potential harm of that risk should be at least acknowledged and weighed against the harm to them. This is, I think, one of the issues that the Conservation Coalition needs to flag for the court, is that the very nature of open net salmon farming and scientific knowledge and understanding is one where uncertainty is almost always going to be a factor, right? Our scientific understanding of issues evolves, and what worries us in this context is the company's suggestion that all the scientific questions about fish farms have been answered. And in this case, and in other cases, I think we've seen, history has shown us that having that level of confidence about our understanding of how an activity affects natural systems leads to poor outcomes and potentially like serious implications for these fish. It's a complicated issue. It's very hard to just summarize it and say, at this point in time, we totally understand what this is, what the risks are, and we can completely manage all of them.
Venton will be permitted to speak for half an hour today. Most of the proceedings will consist of the DFO's response. Five of the seven First Nations whose traditional territories are in the Discovery Islands, the Hamalco, Slomin, Wiwakee, Wiwakum, and Kwika, sought to speak as interveners in this case, but their application was denied. Is this a violation of Indigenous rights?
So it may, actually. I mean, at this point, I think what's tricky is we have the decision of the court saying that the First Nations, the two groups of Discovery Island First Nations that went through the consultation process with DFO would not be permitted to be before the court on the injunction application. So we had that decision, but we don't have the court's reasons for decision. So potentially, yes, it could lead to further conflict. I will say that certainly EcoJustice and all the member groups of the Conservation Coalition are quite concerned that the court is deciding this matter without those voices in the courtroom. The evidence that was before the minister that we're all talking about in court really indicates that the source of the concern about the impacts to wild salmon has come loudly and clearly from First Nations, and therefore it seems like it would be important for the judge to hear that. And there is some evidence still on the record of their concerns. It's just in summary form. And so we're hoping that the judge will pay careful attention to that evidence.
Is this a test case?
I mean, an injunction application is usually a very specific request. So the companies have to go in and explain why they will suffer irreparable harm if they're not allowed to do what they're asking the court to let them do, and that they have to show the balance of convenience, like all the things, all the factors you would weigh. It's fairer to let them have this relief than not. And so in some ways, we say this is an important test case, and that's why the Conservation Coalition group that EcoJustice represents is involved, because there are other farms operating in the Discovery Islands that may also wish to go to the court and ask to be allowed to transfer fish during the phase-out period, which is between now and June 2022.
You've been listening to an interview with Margot Venton of EcoJustice about the virtual injunction hearing for three fish farms in the Discovery Islands.